Good morning. Today's daf in Sota Mem Aleph. We're starting on Mem Amud Beis. We're going to be starting with the Mishnah. Thank the Masuth family of West Orange, New Jersey for sponsorship of the entire Masechta. Learning that we do is Lezeich Nishmas Techemia Ben Avram. And here we begin with the Mishnah. So as we already went over, we're now in the seventh parak of Sota. We're finishing up the seventh parak of Sota, and this in fact is going to be our last full day of the seventh parak. Tomorrow we just have a little bit to do to finish it up. And here in the seventh parak, so kriyas, there are various times that there's a mitzvah to be korei. So the sota, obviously, there are lines that need to be said by the sota, and in other mitzvahs as well, there are lines that need to be said. So do I say them b'lashon hakodesh? Can I say them in any language? And the answer is depends, talui. Depends on which mitzvahs we're talking about. So certain mitzvahs have to be done b'lashon hakodesh, certain mitzvahs can be said b'chol lashon. And so what the Mishnah treated us to in the beginning of the seventh parak is, here's a list. Here's a list of things that can be said b'lashon hakodesh. Here's a list of things that can be said b'chol lashon. I asked a question at the beginning of the parak, which one's the default, which one is requires the drasha. Not totally clear. I have my thoughts, but anyway, it doesn't matter. That's what we were treated to in this parak. And so, birchas kohen gadol. So one of the things that were mentioned was the bracha of the kohen gadol on Yom HaKippurim. So the kohen gadol gave a bracha. And that is in the list on the Mishnah that needs to be said b'lashon hakodesh. Okay, so there's no room for variation. The Kohen Gadol has to say it b'lashon hakodesh. And so now we talk about the bracha of the Kohen Gadol. What are we talking about? It's a simple question. And here we are in the Mishnah. So we're on Mem Amud Beis. We're starting with the Mishnah. So Berachas Kohen Gadol Ketzad. So what's an example? It's not an example. This is it. Well, so Berachas Kohen Gadol Ketzad, Chazan HaKnesses. No till Sefer Torah no son Lila Rosh HaKnesses. So, first we're going to go over the procession. And it's going to start with a Sefer Torah. Sefer Torah is going to be taken by the Chazan HaKnesses. Chazan, whenever the Mishnah uses the word Chazan, it's not talking about the cantor. It's talking about the Shamash. The word in Mishnah that describes the Shamash is a Chazan. So the Shamash would be giving the Sefer Torah over to the Rosh HaKnesses. Okay? Again, they're, right, levels of middle administration, if you will. So the Shamash would give it to the Rosh HaKnesses, Rosh HaKnesses Nosan L'Skan, and the Rosh HaKnesses would now give it to the Skan HaKohen, that's the deputy Kohen. V'askan Nosan L'Kohen Gadol, V'Kohen Gadol, Omer Mekabel. Kohen Gadol would be standing now. And in other words, obviously up until this point in time, he was in a sitting position, he's now standing in order to be Mekabel, to receive the Sefer Torah. V'Korei. And now, when reading from the Sefer Torah, so what is he going to do? He's going to read the following. He's reading from the Parsha of Achrimos. We just read that a couple Shabbosim ago. So Achrimos and Achba Asor. So he is now, and we just read that last Shabbos. So you're reading Achrimos and you're reading Parsha Semor. Okay, so those are the two Parshas that are read by the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur from this particular Sefer Torah. And Golel Es HaTorah. Now what they do is that they close the Sefer Torah. And Umenicha Becheiko, and he puts it in his lap. And, well, he's standing. So let's not say lap. Let's say he's holding it under his arm. And Omer Yasser, me Masha Karasa Lefenechem Kasav Khan. He says, I'm about to read more, but I'm going to read without reading. In other words, right, what he's about to do is he's about to go ahead to Parshas Pinchas in order to read from the Karbanos, but he's not reading from the Torah itself. And we'll see together why it is that he won't read from the Torah itself. But he'll just simply read it, Ba'al Peh. But he makes an announcement, what I'm about to say is coming from the Torah. Uve Asar, and that's what he's now doing, he's reading from the Parsha of Pinchas. Shebechumash HaPekudim, Korei Al Peh. So that is going to be reading Ba'al Peh. Well, you know the answer already. We're going to get there. So Mivarech Aleh Shemana Brachos. Now, upon conclusion of the reading of the Torah, now he's going to be making a total of 8 brachas. Number one, he's making a brachas Torah, ala Torah. So, and that's specifically the bracha that we make after the kriyas Torah. That's the bracha of Hashem Asalan Torah and Mes v'chaya olam natabesuchenu. Then he makes a bracha of avoda. Now, right now, what I will do is I'm just going to simply read the Mishnah. I'm not going to go and translate each one of the brachas, nor am I going to even explain each one of the brachas because the Gemara is going to do that. So we'll just wait a little bit for the Gemara to do that. Al avod of al odaya, al mechilas avon, that's number 4. Al hamikdash is number 5. Al Yisrael is number 6. Al hakohanim is number 7. Al Yerushalayim is number 8. So those are the 8 brachas that are made by the Kohen Gadol upon completion of reading of the Sefer Torah. And then the Mishnah says something which is opaque. The Mishnah says, Vahashar tefillah. And then he says some sort of other various tefillah, the remainder tefillah. Okay, that also requires an explanation, and the Gemara is going to do that. The Gemara later on will explain what exactly that means. Ad kan divrei ha-mishnah. So, we've learned together that the Kohen Gadol is going to be making a bracha. So, what is the bracha that he's making that needs to be said b'lashon HaKodesh? And we just learned together. So, he's reading from the Chumash, and immediately after reading from the Chumash, he's going to be making eight brachas, and we've just listed the eight brachas that were made, and also there is Shar Tefillah. Okay. Good. Which needs to be explained. We're going to do that in just a moment. Now, Shamas Minachokin Kavala Tamib B'makom HaRav. Okay, so, the Gemara is going to make a number of observations. Observation number one of the Gemara, and that is that what just happened in that scene on Yom Kippur? The Torah was given to a number of people before it was given to the Kohen Gadol. In other words, we have the Chazan, we have the Rosh HaKnesses, we have the Skan, and they're all getting covered, which is great. Okay. At the same time, however, the Kohen Gadol is right there. So in other words, it's one thing to give somebody kavod, but to give somebody kavod in a place where his Rebbe, so to say, is there. So you're being chole kavod l'talmid b'makom harav. Are you allowed to do that? Yes or no? And it's a point of controversy. Meaning that on one hand, it's nice to give people kavod, right? By the way, the Mishnah Pirkei Avos says that as you being the recipient of the kavod, so you should be running away from that. Okay. But in other words, but somebody who deserves kavod, you should be given kavod. But in a place where his Rebbe is there, should you be doing that? In other words, could that be interpreted as an affront to the Rebbe? And to which the Gemara says, Amar Abaye, so kula mishum kvoda de kohen gadol. So Abaye says, we don't have to dip our toe into that debate. In other words, we could remain removed from that debate. You're bothered by the fact that the Sefer Torah is first handed to the Chazan, then handed to the Rosh HaKnesses, then handed to the Skan. So Abaye says that could all be understood as just a way of honoring the Kohen Gadol. Meaning basically what we're saying is, hey, look how many people are below the Kohen Gadol. And that eventually when it makes it to the Kohen Gadol, now you understand this is a Kohen Gadol. So it could all be understood as just a way of giving cover to the Kohen Gadol. Good. That's number one. Number two, the Kohen Gadol, Omen Mekabel V'Korei. And next observation of the Gemara, Omen Mechal D'Yoshevu. Okay, so, I made this observation in the Mishnah, but I didn't make the observation. I just simply read ahead. I prepared. In other words, the Gemara now is noting that up until that point in time, the Kohen Gadol was sitting. Now, sitting, Vahamar Mar, the Gemara says, one second, Ein Yeshiva Ba'azar, Ela Machi David Bilvad. Right, sitting in the Azara. So there's only one dispensation given out to sit in the Azara, and that's only to Beis David Bilvad. Only the monarchy can sit in the Azara. Nobody else can. Now, for an explanation of why that is, so I don't have yet a prepared good explanation of why that should be. In other words, this Gemara comes up a number of times throughout Chas. So certainly familiarity with this idea. So we've covered it before. But in terms of explaining, I don't have a good explanation. I understand he's the king, but and it's easy to say that. But do I understand why that should be different? No. Okay, fine. Either way, so the Kohen Gadol obviously is not part of the monarchy. And therefore, he does not have a dispensation to sit. And meanwhile, in the Mishnah, we have him in a sitting position prior to him standing up and receiving the Torah. And that's obviously problematic. So the Gemara says, Kedamer of Chista, Bezos Nashim, Hachanami, Bezos Nashim. So the Gemara says, okay, what we'll have to say, we're going to have to say this, is that despite the fact that the Mishnah said the word Azara, our understanding of the word Azara is not literal. Azara here does not mean the courtyard. It means a courtyard right to the side. Ezos Nashim. If you know the layout of the Beis HaMikdash, so you'll know exactly what we're talking about when we say Ezos Nashim. If you need help with the layout of the Beis HaMikdash, so by all means, I encourage you to take a look, and you'll see exactly where Ezos Nashim is. It's outside of the Azara. And Ezos Nashim has the status of Har Habayis, and you're allowed to sit in Ezos Nashim. Okay, so to answer the question simply, don't read the Mishnah literally. It says Azara, it doesn't mean Azara. Meitzvei, the Gemara is challenging. Ve'echen korin bo, be'azara, be'lazer ben Yaakov, omer b'har Habayis, shenemar. We are on the top of Mem Aleph, Amad Aleph. Vayikra bo lifnei rechov, asher lifnei shar hamayim. So over here we have a Braisa, and in this Braisa, now this Braisa admittedly, it's not talking about the Kohen Gadol, it's talking about the king and the king's obligation to read the Sefer Dvarim on the Sukkos of Hakel. In just a moment, we're going to all see this together because that's going to be our very next sugya that we're about to tackle. So granted, this Brisa is not talking about the Kohen Gadol, it's talking about the Melech, but still, in the Brisa, what word are we using? We're using the word Azara. According to the Tanna Kamma, where is the Sefer Torah read? It's read in the Azara. And Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov says it's read in Har Habayis. Now, just moments earlier, if you were listening carefully, so I said, Ezos Nashim has the status of Har Habayis. So what we're about to do is we're interpreting the Brisa the same way we did with the Mishnah. And that when the Brisa says the word Azara, it meant Ezros Nashim. In fact, let me just first read it. So I'm Rav Chista of Ezros Nashim. Okay, the word Azara in the Brisa is referring to Ezros Nashim. But then, of course, it forces us to have to think and come up with an explanation. Well, if Azara is Ezros Nashim, so look at the Machlokas now. So where is the Sefer Torah read? So according to the Tanna Kamma, the Azara, which now we understand is Ezros Nashim, and Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says, no, it's Har Habayis. Well, Ezros Nashim, from a status standpoint, has the same status as the Har Habayis. And I would imagine now, in trying to explain the Brisa, what you'll have to say is that despite the fact that Ezros Nashim has the status of Har Habayis, it's all part of Machane Leviya, if you understand that, great. But nevertheless, there still has to be some sort of fine differentiation between Ezros Nashim and the rest of Har Habayis. Meaning, Ezros Nashim, if you will, is Har Habayis plus. Okay. I did all that very quickly, but if you understood, great. Let's go on. V'kori achar emos ach, and v'ach ba'asor. So now, we're going to go back to the Mishnah. We're looking at the Kriya of the Kohen Gadol and Yom Kippur. So there are three parshios that he's reading. He's reading the Parsha of Achar Emos, which makes perfect sense because that has to do with the Avodah of Yom Kippur. He's reading from the Parsha of Emor, which has to do with the Yontif of Yom Kippur. And then he moves all the way to Parshas Pinchas, where he's reading the Karbanos of Yom Kippur. Okay? Two of them he's reading inside. That's Achar Emos and Emor. And Parshas Pinchas, he's not reading inside, he's reading Ba'al Peh. So far, so good. The Gemara now is going to be asking, everything we're doing now, we did back in Megillah. This Gemara, word for word, we already did back in Megillah, so that means that for us now, it serves as unbelievable chazara. So, Medalgin, some Uriminhu, sorry. And the Gemara quotes the Mishnah in Megillah, Medalgin Menavive, Medalgin Metorah. So what you're allowed to do is you're allowed to skip around in Navi, and you're not allowed to skip around in the Torah, meaning that when you're being Korif Betorah, you have to read consecutively. You can't skip. Now in Navi, so there's more flexibility. There's more fluidity in the Navi where you can go from place to place. So the Gemara explains, Amar Abai Lokasha kam bichtei sheyifso katorgaman kam bichtei shelo yifso katorgaman. So Abai's explanation is like this. It's very simple. In other words, even in the Sefer Torah, you can skip. So then where is there more flexibility by Navi? By Navi, you can skip around, and you don't have to worry about a time consideration. But when reading from the Torah, so you have to worry about a time consideration. Meaning, we know, we don't have this minhag anymore, but we know that when they read the Torah, so there was a Torgamon standing right next to the Bakari would read a pasuk from the Torah, and the Torgamon would explain it to everybody in Aramaic. As long as there's no lapse of time from the Kriya HaTorah to the Torgamon, to the next Parsha that we're going to read. Even though while the Torgamon's translating, we're quickly rolling the Torah in order to get to the next Parsha. As long as there's no lapse of time, so then you're going to be fine. Then that would be okay. By Sefer Torah. By Navi, more flexibility. Okay. That's the Gemara's answer. Vaha Allah Kitani. Medagim and Navi ve Medagim Torah ve'ad kama Medagim. Ad Kadesh lo Yifsuk at Torgamon mechlal de Betorah klal lo. The Gemara says, yeah, the answer is good, but it doesn't work because just keep reading on in the Mishnah. If you read on in the Mishnah, it says clearly in the Mishnah over there in Megillah that this idea of there should be no lapse and no lag, that's by Navi, which means that by Chumash, even if there is no lapse, you can't skip around at all. Elam Rabbi Elokasha, Kan Ben Yenechad, Kan Bishnei Nyanim. So the Gemara says like this. Okay. We're going to have to make another distinction in terms of Chumash versus Navi and skipping around. And that is that We're assuming, of course, that there cannot be a lapse. There cannot be any dead time, so to say, while rolling. All right. The as Phil pointed out earlier, we have this idea of tircha de tzibura, right? If there is just dead time in shul, no good. In other words, things have to keep moving. But still, there's a difference between chumash and navi. By chumash, so what you could do is that you could skip around, but you have to stay on topic. When it comes to navi, you could skip around and you don't have to stay on any particular topic. A very interesting Rashi over here. In fact, I'm going to read it. Rashi over here, starting at the fourth line, on Mem Aleph Amad Aleph, coming in Echa Medagim Torah. Kigon Masisin de Tarvai Binyana Diyama Kippurim Nenu Hilkach Medagim Bechdei Shelo Yifsok. So Rashi writes that, look, right, our example over here is a fantastic example. Kohen Gadol reading on Yom Kippur. What is he reading? Three different parshas, but it's all same topic. It's all about Yom Kippur. So that you're allowed to do. But when it comes to Navi, you don't have to stay on topic. And then Rashi writes, so in terms of our attention spans, right? I've heard a lot over the last number of years about the lament that we have short attention spans. It's not a new phenomena, right? Rashi writes over here, if you're being yanachad, if you're right now discussing one topic, and now what do you want to do? You want to move to another topic, right? We don't have the gears that switch so quickly that we can just simply go from one topic to another topic. So when it comes to the Torah, so every pasuk is critical because there are mitzvahs of the Torah, instructions of what we are supposed to do, says Rashi. And therefore, what are you going to do? You're going to now move to another topic, right? In other words, there's no way I have the capacity. I mean, Rashi is talking about we, but it's okay. I'll talk about me. There's no way that I have the capacity where I can hear a pasuk and then move on to another topic and fully absorb and understand as we now move on to another topic. And by Chumash, that's critical because by Chumash, every pasuk obviously is important. In other words, it's all instruction. But if we're talking about Navi, okay, so in other words, you're following along by Navi, but you miss a point. Okay. And I can only say this because Rashi said it. So by Navi, that's not a big deal. It's okay. Mm-hmm. It's okay by Navi. Okay. Granted, by the way, in other words, everything I'm saying has to be said within context, but it's okay. Well, I'm reading the Rashi and I said it in context. Okay.
Because Navi is, there's not a lot.
It's Musar. Yeah. Navi, correct. Very good. In other words, Navi is much more Musar. And the Torah is Halacha. Okay. And Vihatanya. And now we go back to the Gemara and we're just wrapping up now. We finished the point. The Gemara now is going to bring a braisa that corroborates. Most of the time, Vatanya is a challenge. Over here, binichusa. You will count on Rashi. Rashi's fantastic, period. Rashi's fantastic about this, in that every time that the Hatanya is serving as a support and not a challenge, Rashi will tell you binichusa. He does so here. The Bryce over here, perfect support of what we just got done saying. Number one, if you're going to be skipping from one place to another, no dead time. Okay, that's a given. That's by Chumash, that's by Navi. And the Bryce says that when it comes to Navi, Shnei Inyanim, you can go from one topic to another topic. That's not a big deal. Obviously, by Chumash, you can't go from one topic to another topic. You have to stay on the same topic. Good. And the end of the Braisa talking about where, right, the, by Treyasar, where you can go, you can actually go in reverse. You can go, you can move backwards in Treyasar. Happens to be, I'm going to skip that point for now, meaning I'm not going to focus on that point as it's not relevant to our discussion. Anyway, we're going to move on. As a Torah Menicha Becheiko. Okay, now we're moving on to the third kriya of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. So he read from Acharimos, he read from Emor, and now he's moving to Bamidbar. But that he's not going to be rolling the Torah. That he's going to just simply close the Torah, and he's going to say a Baal Peh. So vegola satora manicha becheko v'kol kachlam shalol lo tzi la'azal al sefer Torah. So the first thing the Gemara right now is commenting on is the Kohen Gadol makes a pronouncement, and he says the next thing that I'm going to be doing is also from the Torah. I'm just not reading it from the Torah. So why does he make that pronouncement? So the Gemara says that we don't want anyone to be motzi la'az on the sefer Torah. In other words, whoa, that's so strange. What just happened? He closed the Torah. He didn't read from the Torah. Must be something's wrong with the Torah. So the Kohen Gadol says, no, the Torah is fine. What I'm doing now is I'm just simply reading it by heart. But in other words, but the Sefer Torah is fine. So, the obvious question, why not roll to Parshas Pinchas? Meaning you rolled from Acharimos to Emor. Now roll a little bit more from Emor to Parshas Pinchas. What's the big deal? So, velikar chela sefer velikre. So, I'm Rav Huna, Bar Yehuda, I'm Rav Sheshel, Lefishen Golan sefer Torah b'tzibur. And here we go. In other words, everybody knows it, but in other words, if you ask anybody, where am I going to find this in the Gemara? Now you know. So, Tadaf Mem Aleph. And that is that we have this thing called, the Gemara refers to it as just simply, Ein Golan sefer Torah b'tzibur. We have given it the name of Tircha d'tzibura. But it's effectively the same thing, and that is that, look, you have a people there. You have an audience over there, and you have to respect the audience. And respecting the audience means is that if there's any dead time in shul, you're not respecting the audience. Okay? I'm embarrassed. In other words, as a gabbai, sometimes, right, most of the time, Sefer Torah is prepared and in the right spot. But if the Sefer Torah is not prepared, and there you are now rolling the Sefer Torah, and everyone's just sitting there, so that's a lack of respect for the kal, and that's a lack of, right, that's not covered at Sibur. So as covered at Sibur, there should be no dead time in shul. So the,
how come he's allowed to read without looking at
his? So good. Excellent question. In other words, the Gemara in Gittin says that Dvarim Shebechsav e Efshar, Irashar Likra Peh. Perfect. It's a great question. I guess I don't have a great answer. But the tension, look, there's a tension. In other words, you have Kavanat Tzibur and you have, the idea that you shouldn't be reading things about Peh. And so you have the tension. Sometimes the resolution is we're going to have to weigh one side over the other side. But still your question is excellent. Umi Chai Shinan Lipigama. Fine. So, sorry. I skipped. So, Lacey Sefer Torah Achrina Velikre. Yeah. Okay, good. Okay, Velaisi Sefer Torah Achrina. So the Gemara Velikre. So now the Gemara wants to know So now I understand why it is that we're not going to roll to the new spot because Tircha de Tzibura. So the Gemara says, okay, but I have a solution and we do this all the time. And that is that if we have two Kriyas to read on any given day, so we bring out two Sefer Torah. So the Gemara says, okay, so bring out a second Sefer Torah. So Rav Huna Bar Yehuda Amar Mishum Begamashal Rishon. So the Gemara says, well, if we bring out a second Sefer Torah, so then that's going to challenge the quality of the first Sefer Torah. Why did you bring out a second Sefer Torah? Now, in a moment, hopefully everyone in this room is thinking right now, well, wait one second. In other words, why don't we worry about that? The Gemara is going to ask that question. And Rabbi Shimon Malakish Amar Lefishe Mevarchim Bracha Shein Tzricha. And the Reish Lakish says, look, I don't want to bring out a second Sefer Torah. Bringing out a second Sefer Torah is going to be demand a new set of brachos. If I don't need a new set of brachos, then we shouldn't have a second set of brachos. That's what's called a bracha shein tzricha. An unnecessary bracha is not just unnecessary. In other words, you're saying Shem Shemaim Levatala, and that's no good.
What's the bracha that you need?
Bracha Torah.
You're getting a little.
Right. In other words, if we're using now, right? If we're using the same Sefer Torah, so then you could just go with the first set of brachas.
He's just reading
and
there's no
later. Correct. Umi Rav Yitzchak Nafcha Rosh Chodesh Teves Shechalias B'Shabes Mevi Shalosh Taros V'Kori Achas Minyan Shoyom Achas Rosh Chodesh V'Achas B'Shel Chanukah. Now the Gemara here is just going to the most extreme version of what we all do, and that is that on a day in which we have three kriyas, we take out three Sifrei Torah and we read from each of the three Sifrei Torah. We're not worried of, hey, the second Torah isn't going to challenge the validity of the first Sefer Torah. Hey, you brought up the third Sefer Torah. Isn't that going to challenge the validity of the second Sefer Torah? So the Gemara says, Talata Gavri, Talata Sefer, like a Begama. All right, Chad Gavri, Betray Sefer, Begama. The Gemara says, I'll tell you what the difference is. In other words, on Shabbos Chanukah, Shabbos Rosh Chodesh Chanukah, we take out three Sefer Torah. we are not worried about the that one is going to challenge the validity of the other, because everyone's getting their own aliyah, so it's all individualized, and everyone understands that second Sefer Torah is because we now have a second Ola. And it's not, I understand, it's not the second Ola. In other words, it's Shabbos. We already had six Aliyahs, but you understand. In other words, a new Ola. And for the third Sefer Torah, another new Ola. So there, under those circumstances, we're not worried that, that bringing out a new Sefer Torah is going to challenge the first one. But, on Yom Kippur, with the Kohen Gadol, it's only one person getting the Aliyah, Kohen Gadol. And now, what are you going to do? When the one Aliyah, you bring out a second Sefer Torah? Oh, It's gonna lead people to think maybe something's wrong with the first Sefer Torah. Okay, good. Umevarech aleh hashmona brachos. Tanu Rabbanan. We are in Mem Aleph Amud Aleph. We are now about halfway down. Yeah. So the Tanu Rabbanan Gemara quotes the Brisa Mevarchin ala Torah kederach shemevarchim eveisa kinesis. So he, excuse me, I'm back. So here, as promised, though, the Gemara is going to quote a brisa that is going to be a little bit more explanatory about the eight brachas of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. So the Mishnah just rattled them off. Here in the brisa, we just get like just a nugget more information on these brachas. So we get to slow down just a little bit. Number one, Birchas HaTorah. So the brisa says over here, it's no different than you getting an aliyah. In other words, after you get the aliyah, so there's a Birchas HaTorah that's said afterwards. It does beg the question, well, what about the Birchas HaTorah before the aliyah? Kohen Gadol making the Birchas HaTorah? Sounds like, from our Gemara, the answer is no. But only because there's an absence of it. In other words, there's no mention of it. Could be that there is. I'll leave that as a untapped area of discussion. We're going to go on. Numbers 2, 3, and 4. Al avoda, al hoda, v'al mechilas avon, kitiknan. So there, those three brachas are like they are instituted, meaning you open up a siddur. Right? We're in Bayi Sheni right now. So they had a Shmoneh Esrei. So you open up a siddur. And the avoda is a bracha of Ritzei. And hoda is a bracha of Modim. And mechilas avon, that is melech mochel v'soleach. So in other words, so those are the brachas of the Shmoneh Esrei. By the way, I say Shmoneh Esrei, I mean the Shmoneh Esrei of Yom Kippur, right? In other words, but in other words, the Kohen Gadol is going to be saying three of those brachas. And yes, of course, it's interesting that, in other words, what about the Avos? What about Gevuros? What about Kedushas Hashem? Kohen Gadol is not saying that. Sounds that way. Meaning in this special Kriyas HaTorah of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, it sounds like it's only Ritzei and Modim and the Bracha of Solech Mochel. And another obvious observation, and that is it's not in the correct order. Like we do in our Shmoneh Esrei. Okay. So that's the Brachas 2, 3, and 4. Al HaMikdash Bifnei Atzmo. So there's a Bracha over the Beis HaMikdash. Here in the Brais, no more commenting. Meaning, what is this Bracha? What does it sound like? Okay, your guess is better than mine. Al Kohanim b'fnei atzmo, bracha towards the Kohanim. Again, no further comment. But okay, Al Yisrael b'fnei atzmo, a bracha over the Jewish people. Al Yerushalayim b'fnei atzmo, a bracha for Yerushalayim. Okay, I admit, by the way, that the Brice over here does not give us a bunch more information than that of the Mishnah, but it did give us a little bit more. On brachas 1, 2, 3, and 4, we got a little more information. Ve'ashar tefila. Then the Mishnah says, and after that, then the Kohen Gadol would be saying a tefillah. Okay, now new, what is that? So, Tanu Rabbanan and Hashar tefillah. So here, once again, we get a brisa supplementing our understanding of what this means. So, techina rina uvakasha. So what it is, in English, what you and I would say supplication. Just more begging HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's the Kohen Gadol, it's Yom Kippur, it's the right time. And Amcha, Shamcha Yisrael Tzrichem, Livasha. The Jewish people need salvation. V'chosem b'shomei tefillah. And the conclusion being shomei tefillah. Mikan ve'elech, kol echad ve'echad, mevi sefer Torah mitoch beiso. V'kori bo. Now, another minug that took place on Yom Kippur, during the times of the Beis HaMikdash. Everybody would bring their own sefer Torah from their home. Oh. In other words, again, now we're after the Kohen Gadol read from his Sefer Torah on Yom Kippur, and after making his brachas, and an additional tefillah afterwards, everyone would bring their own Sefer Torah from their house. And Vikaribo. And part of this minhag included that everyone would read their own Sefer Torah, V'kol kach lama. Now why? Meaning, we already had the Kriyas HaTorah. So what's behind this minhag? So the Gemara explains, Kedei la'aris chazuso l'rabim. Because people want to show off their mitzvahs. And Rashi writes over here, it's a function of Zeke Levan Veo. I have a beautiful Sefer Torah. You want to see my beautiful Sefer Torah? Okay, yes. Love to. Love to see your beautiful Sefer Torah. And the and when you have a beautiful Sefer Torah, you're showing it off to others. So this is a function of Zeke Levan Veo. A really interesting application of Zeke Levan Veo, meaning generally speaking, Zeke Levan Veo means that you should get for yourself a beautiful Sefer Torah. Right? Have an excellent sofer with a beautiful ksav on beautiful parchment. And that is the function of Zeke Levan Veo. We just learned together now another form of Zeke Levan Veo. And that is once you have said beautiful Sefer Torah, show it to other people. That's also Zeke Levan Veo. Okay. So aren't you showing off? No. When you're showing off a mitzvah, you're not showing off. In other words, that's part and parcel of Zeke Levan Veo. Okay. There is, right, this morning, me and my chavrus got to see together an extensive discussion regarding Rashi over here. Rashi over here writes that they're bringing the Sefer Torah from their home. Okay, wait 1 second, says Rashi. You can't bring a Sefer Torah from your home. Meaning we are on Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is a holy day. It's Shabbos, and you know you can't carry on Shabbos from one place to another. And so how are people bringing it from their homes? Now these are people in Yerushalayim, but still you're allowed to carry on Yom Kippur. So see Rashi over here, who is obviously bothered by that. Rashi over here gives not one but two different suggestions in terms of how it could be okay. And note then, after going through the Rashi over here, I'm just assigning homework. And note over here, after having seen the Rashi over here, so that the very same discussion is in Yuma itself. The Gemara in Yuma, obviously, goes over the same Minhag Yisrael. And Rashi over there gives a different answer and solution in terms of how it is that people are bringing their Sefer Torah into the Azara on Yom Kippur, meaning how are they not violating the Isra of Hotza on Yom Kippur? So, and note that the Rashi and Yuma and our Rashi over here in Sota are not the same. And then an assortment of suggestions by Achronim in terms of why Rashi give different solutions. Okay, that's a lot. That's a lot of homework. But anyway, and I'm just telling you all the parts that we are not doing right now. But this is a daf. That's, you know, we get to see the Gemara, but okay. That's it. Adkan, we're up to the next Mishnah. Let's begin. Parshas HaMelech. Okay. Hakel. All right. We just had a Hakel together. So, of course, we don't have a Beis HaMikdash and we don't have a king and we don't have the mitzvah of Hakel that was done as it should have been done with the king reading the Chumash in the Beis HaMikdash on Sukkos. Okay. So back in the good old days, that's the mitzvah. So, Rachmanis, we're missing a lot. We're missing the Beis HaMikdash. We're missing the king. We do have the Chumash, but okay. Anyway, so we don't have the mitzvah, but the mitzvah is for the Kohen. Sorry, let me change gears. Right, I know I just read Rashi earlier today. It's not easy to change gears. Okay, let's change gears now. We're no longer talking about Yom Kippur. We're now talking about the Melech reading Sefer Dvarim on Sukkos in the Beis HaMikdash to everybody. Right, who's coming up to Hakel? Right, probably the most popular halacha, and the answer, of course, is everybody. Women. Men, women, children. Everyone's going up. Parshas HaMelech Ketzad, we're starting with the Mishnah on Mem Aleph Amad Aleph. So Ketzad, Motzei Yom Tov Rishon Shochag. So now, it is, after the first day of Sukkos. So we are now, the night thereafter, right? The first day of Chol HaMoed. Now again, in our Gullus mentality, in my Gullus mentality, so I'm thinking 2 days of Sukkos. Okay, so I gotta shed myself of my Gullus mentality. And now it's only 1 day of Sukkot. So it's the first day of Sukkot. And that night, immediately thereafter, of course, is the first evening of Chol HaMoed. So, Ketzad Motzei Yom Tov HaRishon Shel Chag B'Shmini. Now, Shmini over here means what? It's a little bit ambiguous. The Gemara is going to clarify. So I'll just wait a moment for the Gemara to clarify. B'Motzei Shvius. Now, that is clearly talking about the year after Shemitah. Osin Lo Bima Shel Eitz Ba'Azara. Construction of a bima, it's a platform made up of wood. It's made in the Azara, Vahu Yoshev Allah. And now what the king is going to do is he's going to sit on the platform. Shenemra Mikeshev Hashanim B'Moed. And over here at the end of the Torah, Devarim Perik Lamed Aleph. a description of this mitzvah of Hakel at the end of the seventh year, Bimmo'ed on Yantiv. And then the Torah goes on to describe. We're going to go over those psukim in just a couple minutes from now. So Chazan HaKnesses, and here now, notice the symmetry between this mission and the previous Mishnah. Chazan HaKnesses notel sefer Torah nosna la Rosh HaKnesses, Rosh HaKnesses nosna lisgan, skan nosna la Kohen Gadol, va Kohen Gadol nosna la Melech, va Melech omein mekabah v'kor v'yoshev. And the procession of the Torah, as it goes from hand to hand, from the Chazan to the Rosh, from the Rosh to the skan, from the skan to the Kohen Gadol, from the Kohen Gadol to the king. King accepts it. King stands. King is going to Korev Yoshev. However, he's going to be sitting. He's going to be reading in a sitting position. Okay. Agrippus Amalek. The Mishnah over here tells us about Agrippus. Agrippus was a child of Hordus. Now, a direct descendant. Right. I'm sorry. A next generation. A few generations after that. I do not know historically. But anyway, but from the family of Hordus, obviously, we're talking about Bai Sheni. So Amma v'kibah v'kara omeid v'shibchu chachamim. Now what he did is that he went slightly rogue. And that is that when he would read the Sefer Torah, he would not be reading in a sitting position, but rather he would be reading it in a standing position. And the Chachamim gave him a pat in the back. Yer shekoach. Good job. Now he gets to Shoftim. In other words, we're reading in Sefer Devarim. The sections of Sefer Devarim that's going to be read by the Kohen Gadol, stay tuned. That we'll be describing also in just a minute from now. But obviously in Sefer Devarim, so you have the Parshas HaMelech. Right there in the 17th parak of Devarim. So now Agrippus is reading from it. And he's reading the words, in other words, who can be the king? Not a foreigner. And Zalgo enav demaos. So in other words, he is from the family of Hordus. Hordus is not somebody of lineage. Let's just leave it like that. So Amrullah Altisyare Agrippus Achinoata. And then the Chachma Yisrael said to Agrippus, you're good. You're good. You're our brother. Stay tuned. The Gemara is going to have strong comments on that line of the Mishnah. Ad Shema. Okay, now, what is going to be read in terms of Sefer Dvarim? So not the entirety of it, but rather sections of Sefer Dvarim. Here the Mishnah tells us exactly which parts of Sefer Dvarim are read by the king. Start at the beginnings of Eilat Dvarim and go up to the Parsha of Shema, that's the sixth parak. Vishma, and you're reading Shema. Now what you're going to do is you're going to be skipping to Vayam Shamor, that's the 11th parak. And then you're going to go to Aser to Aser. You're going to skip from there to Aser, that's the 14th parak. Okay, if you're following carefully, I understand this is choppy. Then Aser to Aser, that's the 14th parak. And Ki Sechale La Aser. Take it all the way from Parak Yudala to Parak Chavav. Viparshas HaMelech. Now, this part of the Mishnah is going to be challenging. It sounds like you back up the, you see already, I'm a little bit confused. From Vahayayim Shemo, you're skipping to Aser to Aser, and from there you're skipping to Kisechala. Okay, which is, sorry, so you're not reading straight from Yidal to Chavav, you are skipping from Yidal to Chavav, major skip. Then what you're going to do is you're going to go back to Parshas HaMelech. That's the 17th parak. Then what you're going to do is brachos v'klalos. You then fast forward to brachos v'klalos. That's in Parshas Kisavo. That's towards the end. Achigomer kol parsha. And from there you finish up the entire parsha of Parshas Kisavo. Okay. Whew. Now that obviously is a lot over here. See Rashi over here who does everything I just did, but slower and a little more methodically. And Rashi obviously is bothered by big time questions of, hey, we are skipping around a lot, and I thought you're not allowed to skip, but I thought, didn't we just say that you're not allowed to go backwards? So see Rashi over here, who addresses these questions, and suggests answers. Okay. If I may, the Rambam writes, in terms of describing the mitzvah of Hakel, so the Rambam writes that what you're going to do is you're going to start with Aser Taser, and you just simply finish Sefer Dvarim. meaning that, and it's noted already by the commentaries to the Rambam, that the Rambam must have had a different gears on the Mishnah. Because our Mishnah over here, in other words, the choppiness that I just described is because we're trying to fit it into the words of the Mishnah, and the Rambam seems to have a different girsa in the Mishnah altogether. Okay, anyway. Baruch Shekohen Gadol Mevarech Osam HaMelech Mevarech Osam Ela Nosein Shel Regalim Tachas Michilas Avon. Now, remember the previous Mishnah where we had all the brachas said by the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur? So basically copy-paste. So you're going to take all those brachas and they're going to be said by the king on Hakel, but with a notable difference of the king is obviously not going to say the bracha for Yom Kippur because it's not Yom Kippur. It's Sukkos. Okay, good. So in other words, copy-paste, but make sure to replace the bracha of Yom Kippur with the bracha of Yantif. Right, correct. You're right. That's a really good observation. Okay, Bishmini Sakadacha. So the first thing that we're going to just simply clean up is when the Mishnah says Shmini, an eight. What does that mean? Bishmini Sakadacha. Right now, the Gemara has a Havamina. That Shmini is talking about the eighth day of the Yantif. Right, Shmini over here is being said Belashon Zachor, Belashon Zachor, the masculine. And so it's talking about days, the eighth day, but the eighth day, of course, is Shmini Atzeres, which is a regal bifnei atzmo. It's not Sukkos. So Eima b'Shmini. So the Gemara says, okay. So it's a small editing, but we have to do it. And that is when the Mishnah is talking about Shmini, it means Shminis. And now it moves from Zachar to Nekeva, and it's talking about a year. A year is feminine, Shana. Okay, good. And so that means to say now that all the Mishnah is telling us is that it's the eighth year of the Shemitah cycle. Now, over here, so many ways of identifying when we read Hakel. In fact, there are going to be four markers that describe that we're reading, that the king is reading Sefer Dvarim on the year after Shemitah. And the Gemara says, I'll tell you why, because without all four markers, you make it confused. In other words, if the Torah just simply said at the end of 7 years, I would have thought, okay. In other words, maybe for this seven starts now, meaning that we're not following a standard 7 years, meaning the Shemitah cycle, meaning that when the Torah was given to Moshe and when the instructions are okay, new start now, meaning maybe for the purposes of Hakel, start the seven count from Moshe Rabbeinu and Kabbalah Torah. And it may not have to run parallel with Shemitah. Therefore, Kasar Rechman is Shemitah. Oh, that's why the Torah says Shemitah, to make sure that we understand that Shemitah means is that we're operating with the standard Shemitah count. If the Torah would have said Shemitah, I would have thought, okay, so read it at the end of the Shemitah year. Next, Moed, meaning the Yontif that follows. So if the Torah would have just simply said the word Moed, I would have said, okay, the first Yontif that occurs after Shemitah, I know what that is, it's called Rosh Hashanah. So that's why the Torah says say Chagasukos. If it would have said Sukkos, maybe it would have been all Sukkos, including Shemini Atzeres. So therefore, Kasav Rechmana, Bivo Kol Yisrael. You know, when everybody's coming, mihat kalasa de moed, top of the Amud Beis. So no, in other words, when everyone's coming, everyone's not coming on Shemini Atzeres. Everyone's been there on Shemini Atzeres for now over a week. It means when everyone's first coming, which would, of course, mean Yontif itself. Okay, so there are four ways in which the Torah marks when exactly we're reading, and the Gemara says they are all necessary in order to give us clarity of when exactly we're reading. Not today, but we're going to ask the obvious question. Well, if I'm supposed to be reading it on Sukkot, so why don't I read on the first day of Sukkot? Okay. That question is coming up. V'chazanah, not today. V'chazanah Knesses. No tell Sefer Torah L'Rosh HaKnesses. Shamas Menachokin Kavlatameh B'mokam Arav. I know it sounds like we're in reruns. We're not in reruns. It just happens to be that earlier this morning we asked a question regarding the Kohen Gadol. Now we're doing the same thing, but now we're just simply asking the question from the perspective of the Melech. How can I start handing off the Torah to the Chazan, to the Rosh, to the Skan to the Kohen Gadol to the King? That's a lot of honor given to people in front of the King. So Amar Abaye, Kula Mishum Kvoda Demelech. So Abaye says, I know we heard this before, so this is Chazara within the Daf. That's exciting. So every time you are handing it to somebody else before the king, it shows now the godless of the melech. Look how many people are below him. Look how many significant people are below him. So Omid Mechlal di Yoshev. So Vamar Marin Yeshiva Ba'azara, Ella Machabezav Melvad, Shinemar Viyava, Melch Davi Vyashiv Lefne Hashem Vayomer. So how can he sit? Now it's funny, by the way, how can he sit? You know the only one who's allowed to sit is the king. Aren't we talking about the king? Meaning, when we asked the question earlier this morning about the Kohen Gadol, that's a pretty appropriate question. Meaning the Kohen Gadol is not allowed to sit in the Azara. No one's allowed to sit in the Azara except for the king. Yeah, but now we're talking about the king. So now, how is this a question? Right, how can he sit? I know the answer, because he's the king. The king's allowed to sit. That's true, by the way, but the Gemara is asking specific to Agrippus. Meaning, you're right, if you're a king, Zera Yehuda king, so you're allowed to sit in the Azara. But Agrippus, you're not a Zera Yehuda king. You're a foreigner. And in fact, the Mishnah already taught us that as he's crying, reading the Psukim. So the Gemara says, Kedamar of Chista, Bezos Nashim, Achanami, Bezos Nashim. And so once again, we get to review what we already saw this morning, but again, Chazara, and that is Ezros Nashim. This is Ezros Nashim, therefore, you're allowed to sit in Ezros Nashim. We're not in the Azara. Vishibachu chachamim shibachu mechlal d'shapir avit. Now, what did Agrippus do? So instead of sitting and reading the Torah, he stood to read the Torah. Now the Gemara is bothered. Hamar Ravashi afil aman da'amar nasi shemachal kvoda kvoda machal mel shemachal kvoda in kvoda machal shenemar samtasim alacha melech shetayim asav alacha. And the Gemara is bothered by the fact of the following. Look, you're the king. You're supposed to sit and read the Torah. Agrippus wants to, you know.
Is he reading up a desk or something?
He wants to, I guess. He wants to, you know, he wants to give up a little bit on his kavod. Look, certain people can give up on their kavod. People can be mocha on their kavod. Parents can be mocha on their kavod. A Rebbe can be mocha on the kavod. Gemara and Kedushin has two opinions. Is not sure about that. But a king, everyone's certain. A king cannot be mocha on his kavod. Oh. So how can the Chachamim give him a pat on the back and say, good job, meaning a king really should be sitting, but you want to stand? Oh, it's okay. You're not allowed to be mocha on your kavod when you're the king. Gemara gives a very succinct answer, mitzvah shani. So the Gemara says, okay, this is a mitzvah, and so you're right. In other words, a king cannot be mocha on his kavod, but for the purposes of a mitzvah, a king can be mocha on his kavod. And so now the Gemara is going to have a very, very strong statement to make regarding Chachmei Yisrael at the time. And that was, is that they were in violation of what's called Chanifa. They flattered Agrippus. Agrippus really did not belong in that seat. In other words, he should not have been the king. He was, in fact, a foreigner. And when he's reading the Psukim, right, the irony. So it's raw irony. He's reading the psukim that a king cannot be a foreigner. He knows his yichus. He knows he shouldn't be in that position. And Chachmei Yisrael, right, giving him encouragement and saying, no, you're good, you're good. So the Gemara says over here, Nischaivu Sone Yisrael. When you see the word Sone Yisrael, you know that's a euphemism. It is a euphemism. In other words, the enemies of the Jewish people. No, it's not, it doesn't mean the enemies of the Jewish people. It means the Jewish people. So they flattered Agrippus, and they deserve Klai, they deserve to be destroyed as a result of that. Amar of Shema Menchalafta Miyam Shigava Agrippa. I'm sorry, Egrofa Shel Chanufa Nisavtu Hadinim Niskalkulu Hamaisa Mein Adim Echolomer Lachaver Maisa Gedolim Mima Secha. Once flattery took over, so then we lost it. In other words, at this point in time, all civil cases now are corrupted. Because, in other words, once you flatter, so then it's hard to call things right, right, and wrong, wrong. Because of flattery. And when people see other people committing averas, right, everything I'm saying, by the way, is Rashi. When people see other people doing averas, So in other words, because people flatter one another, so no longer is anyone in a position where they could say, hey, that's wrong. You can't call things out anymore. And people can't say, Maisa gedoli mi ma'asecha. And people can't say to others, what I'm doing is correct and what you're doing is incorrect. How could you say that to someone when meanwhile he was honored last year at the shul dinner? Okay. Sorry, I'm giving contemporary examples, but everyone seems to understand. Okay, and from this point going forward, lots of drushas regarding Chanifa. The Gemara, it's a powerful Gemara is coming up regarding flattery and the ills of flattery. Okay, and the Gemara is going to speak in very serious terms. And we'll pause over here. We'll reserve this for tomorrow. We'll do all the Gemaras of Chanifa tomorrow. That in of itself, by the way, is definitely a strong lure to get everyone to come back tomorrow. Okay, let's quickly recap. Let's review. Okay, we did two really big sugyas. Number one, we did the Parshas Kohen Gadol. Kohen Gadol was reading from the Parsha from the Torah, three separate parshas, two inside, one outside, and so we went through the entire sugya, noting. Normally you're not allowed to skip. Normally you're not allowed to read by heart. Actually, that was Alan's question. The Gemara didn't even address that question. But you're not allowed to skip. And meanwhile, the Kohen Gadol skipped around. And how can you do that? So good. So we gave explanations in terms of the procedure regarding the Kohen Gadol and his skipping around. Right. That was most of the sugya over there and the brachas that were said by the Kohen Gadol. The eight brachas that he said after having read from the Torah. And also Shar Tefillah, and supplication, additional supplication. And the point of all which, by the way, why are we here? Because it said B'Lashon HaKodesh. Okay. Then we went to Parshas HaMelech. The king would be reading on Hakel. So we went through the Mishnah in terms of the basics regarding this mitzvah of Hakel. And on top of that, we also went through the brachas of the Melech that were said. Copy and paste from the Kohen Gadol to the Melech. With notable exception of, it wasn't on Yom Kippur, but rather was on Sukkot, the year after the Shemitah year. Okay. We touched up the Mishnah a little bit in terms of when the Mishnah said eight, it meant the eighth year, the year following the Shemitah year. And the Gemara went through all the ways that the Torah identified when is Hakel? When does the Melech read the Sefer Torah on Hakel? So there are four markers in the Torah. Why four markers? The Gemara went through all four. Agrippa Samelach. We ended off our daf today with a couple words regarding Agrippa Samelach. Number one, he was from the family of Hordus. He was not from the lineage of Yehuda. And therefore shouldn't have been there. He knew it. He's reading the Sefer Torah. He's reading Parsha Shoftim. So he knows it. He's crying. And the Chachamim give him a pat on the back, say, it's okay. A couple things that we dealt with. Number one, the fact that he elected not to sit, but rather stand. Right? And they said, good, very, very good job. You can't be mochel, your kavod as a melech. How can he stand? The Gemara gives an answer. The fact that he was sitting all together, you're not allowed to sit. You're right. Melech ben David, a melech of Shevet Yehuda can sit, but he can't sit. So what gave him the right to sit? Again, we got to hear. It wasn't the Azara, it was rather the Azos Nashim. And then we started the discussion of Chanifa, and tomorrow we're going to go deep into the Chanifa and the ills of Chanifa. We shouldn't be flattering one another.